Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And Grand Rising. Thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of The Female Solution. I'm Naima Latif. And this Wednesday, we have our men-only discussion to be led by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we'll be right back in just one moment. introduce our host and our topic for today, domestic violence. What causes it and how do we stop it? We'll be right back after this quick moment, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And we are now joining with our sister station, American Muslim 360, and our co-host Kareem Hamid, as we discuss the topic, domestic violence. What causes it, and how do we stop it? Of course, October was Domestic Violence Month, and during that time, we had a chance to examine it, but now we want to take a look at some of the causes and some of the solutions by a panel of men. And we'll bring in our host, who will be facilitating this discussion, Kareem Hamid.
Subject, be able to have a conversation with one another, an open and honest conversation. Beginning as a people in this country.
Number your dial is outside of your plan and will incur a 1 cent per minute charge if you can speak.
In slavery. So as we approach this subject of domestic violence, the idea is that we have set up our families whereby, you know, if you don't do such and such a thing, I'll slap all the black off you. Where did that come from? If you don't do that, I'll beat your butt. If you don't do such and such a thing, there's a threat of physical assault inside the family unit. And the family unit is designed to be a unit of safety and security, love and happiness and appreciation of one another. So when I say domestic violence, I mean the family that is ruled by punishment. Corporal punishment, physical assault. I want to first open up the mic of our beloved Imam Delacy Umar. He cannot be with us the full 2 hours, but he has a appointment that he must be at. I think I see him. Yes, he was here. Imam Delacy Umar, if you're present, press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Yeah, there he is. If you would introduce yourself succinctly, please, and I look forward to hearing your comments on this subject matter of domestic violence. Please introduce yourself to the listening audience.
Yes, DeLacy Umar Phillips here in Melbourne, Florida. I am very, 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 I would say, astounded by the wonderful introduction of Dr. King. I hadn't heard from Dr. King in a while. And also, ma'am, the patience you were given setting the table for the discussion, I think, is very, very excellent. A lot of things have been covered there. And that could be spoken on. I personally experienced, we experienced as young people disciplinary measures that were not normal, I would say, not normal. And as you mentioned, it was a reflection, opinion of how slaves were treated. And I think our parents being so close to just being freed from the plantation life brought some of those tendencies to the family as a way of disciplining, as a way of disciplining the family. So that was something I experienced as a young man. I think it works that well. It didn't for me. It just created a challenging situation with me, between me and my parents. And mainly it was a single family home with my mother. And I guess with boys, it was difficult, very difficult to do work and try to raise boys. That's not an easy thing for a mother to do. You have some exceptional mothers that can do it, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work well. I would just say those few things, and if you listening for comment or question about that type of experience, and I also would say, from we do have to redefine the family. And things have been done on parenting now, so it's not very difficult to try to redefine parenting. But I will say too that I had the experience where the opposite was tried. No corporal punishment, but trying other ways of discipline. And some of that wasn't successful because of the model that was used. But we have in our faith-based belief that love is what's needed to create an atmosphere for discipline, and especially after the child reaches the age of puberty or so, that discipline is really should stop for sure. Any corporal discipline it definitely won't work. And love and relationship, friendship building, and including becoming friends with the children is helpful. Because then you have each person have something at stake. Child has something at stake. They love the parent. they respect the parent, and the parent is respecting and loving the child, and then withdrawing that that love or threatening that relationship becomes one factor of discipline. You can actually build on the disappointment that's felt when the child or the other party in that relationship disrespect the persons in the relationship can be a valuable tool for discipline to remind each other of the relationship and respect that's been damaged, and considered, not given the proper consideration. So I would think those types, we have to bring that the Islamic perspective, and I know we have listening audiences that may not understand how we view this, but I would just say this report from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that you will never enter paradise until you believe, and you will never believe until you practice loving one another. Shall I show you how to create love? He said, to spread peace. So the home should be peaceful. Should be a place where, as you mentioned earlier, everyone comes and find comfort and ease. And it's the job of every member in the home to create that type of environment, that the home is a safe place. It's where you can get rest from the weary world, so to speak. And also have that type of order and respect for each other in the home and in the family. I think this is something that we have to really work hard to do, is to create that type of environment.
Yes, so, you know, ma'am, you mentioned how there is in the African culture, and I'm utilizing the whole continent. I'm not sure what tribe I came from or whatever, but in even the indigenous people of this country, they had strata of authority: the elders council, the senior, most senior members in the tribe and family, and they were respected, they were honored, and you did not want to shame or be somewhat shunned by those that were in authority over you. There was a great love and respect for the elders. And so it did not become necessary to physically assault someone. Just the mere fact that you showed disrespect, or you did something wrong, and you really felt bad if they said, "Boy, I'm so ashamed of you." I'm connecting with what you were saying. That respect and honor, and reverence the wounds that bore you. You know, it's a reverence. It's very sacred a sacred ingredient that we have within ourselves, and we can restructure our families. I want to get ready for a public service announcement. Do you have any more? I have about 1 minute before we go to public service.
I would just end by saying we lost that culture awareness that, as you mentioned, we were stripped from that. That was stripped from us in our slave experience, our Jim Crow years and plantation life, all of those wonderful cultural heritages that we had in our African experience. And I've actually had the experience to interact with Africa, and they still have that. Even when they come to America, they bring that respect for their elders. You know, it's just unbelievable how much that is ingrained in their behavior. If I drop something before I can even make a move to pick it up, they'll have it so fast you wouldn't believe it. You know, so I've seen that and respect that. Thank you for allowing me to share.
No, I'm thankful to you for your contribution to this most valuable subject and what you contribute. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Imam Delacy Omar. We shall pause now for some public service announcements. You're listening to The Female Solution on America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. In God willing, inshallah.
And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom. Women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs, A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, persons, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Back, you're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and today is our men only discussion, and we are talking about domestic violence. We want you to call in and comment 515-605-9325. We have our co-host Kareem Hamid facilitating a discussion with a group of men. Of course, if you're on our switchboard, press 1. And we'll inform our host so that you can open your mic and get your comments. Because we've asked the question, what causes domestic violence and how do we stop it? And it's not just a discussion of men hitting women.
Assembled host, I want to open up the mic of Imam Sahir Beya. He is an imam here in St. Louis, a very valuable, I hate to say property, but yes, he do belong to us. A very valuable property that we have here in St. Louis, and he shares with us very profound intellect and a very valuable. That's all I'm going to say. Imam Sahir Beya, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Good morning, brother.
Alhamdulillah. If you would introduce yourself succinctly and give at least, inshallah, a 10-minute verbiage on what we have shared thus far. We would greatly appreciate your thoughts coming from honesty and openness concerning domestic violence. If you would, please, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Again, assalamu alaikum to everyone and good morning. My name is Imam Sahir Beya. I'm assistant imam here in St. Louis, Missouri, Al-Mukmin Islamic Center. Along with that accolade, I also too. I'm a youth advocate and judicial intervention specialist. So I work in the judicial system, deterring young people, offering programming, life skills, alternatives to violence, employability skills, et cetera, et cetera. The whole gambit of assisting young people, young adults, teenagers and young adults, transitioning in from, being young adults to into full adulthood and being self-sufficient and responsible. Also, too, serve as one of the imams and here in the local institutions. So, of course, being in that arena, we see a lot of young men and a lot of young women that experience the side effects of this thing that we call domestic violence, right? And as I was listening to Brother Omar, it just provoked so much thought in regards to the origin and the history of how we got in this position, right? And how these are some of the skills and the strategies or tactics that we use to try to govern our households and govern relationships, et cetera. but I would be remiss to not go back, because I think Brother Imam Kareem had made the observation of domestication. It's not just dealing with an individual, but it's dealing with family structure, social structure. And then that social structure, there's education that takes place, right? And so, you know, when I look at a lot of the younger people that come through the penal institution and their take on problem resolving, right, how to deal with issues in relationships, in friendships, and what they term as business relationships, dealing, you know, out in the streets, et cetera. All of these have a social, a dynamic and contribution to them, yet we don't see them as being forms of domestication, but they are. Because then when you look at another aspect of the word domestication, for example, domestic violence, when I think about domestication, you know, it brings to mind, and I know this probably is a poor analogy, but I think you can appreciate it once it's explained. So anytime you take an animal out of the wild and you discipline and you train that animal to be obedient, to be disciplined in the environment, that is also too considered a form of domestication. You know, you have a dog, some of us have dogs, cats, et cetera, and we see that their house is broken and they've been domesticated. They've learned how to interact and live with people and not act out of their natural instinctive nature, which is to defend and feed themselves, that their interaction with human beings have become a little more elevated than just base nature responses, right? And so the domestication, in that regard, to me, it implies that there has to be a elevated discipline that's taught within the family structure. So when you talk about domestic violence, and there's many different colors, right? One that we readily can visually look upon is you know, of course, the male inflicting physical or verbal harm, psychological, emotional harm onto the female. That's how it's commonly used. But sometimes we don't look at, and I'm saying sometimes because some of us are very aware of these things, right? I'm not assuming anything. But we don't, sometimes we might look over the fact that this behavior that's being modeled is being ingested and digested by children, that they see this behavior, and that they'll at one point in life, they'll perhaps, you know, demonstrate the same behavior. You know, my mama and my dad did it this way, and being that this is the first learning and teaching dynamic, the family environment, right, then they take these lessons into their young adult and adult life, and these are the strategies in which they use to govern their own relationships. So in essence, what happens is, you know, if we teach brokenness, and we perpetuate brokenness, as the Imam Kareem was demonstrating earlier about, you know, I'll beat the black off you, or I'll slap you in the next week, et cetera, et cetera. These have become what I consider a lazy approach to discipline. It's a lazy approach because it doesn't really require anything of you other than to just physically act out, you know, holler. No education involved, no modeling, no demonstration of proper behavior, no care, concern, or compassion in it. It actually, if you look at it from afar, it almost comes from an angry place, you know. And we know that any time that you are dealing in anger, that's why our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, has told us do not become angry, because when we become angry, we divorce ourselves of logical reasoning and the ability to apply logical reasoning to any situation. So we don't become angry. And so even when we discipline our children, we don't discipline from a place of anger. We discipline from a place of education. Because if I can teach you correctly, then I don't have to do this very long. It'll become a point in life where you'll be able to self-manage. You'll be able to self-discipline. You won't need me to threaten you or to stand over you, and you'll have that self-initiative and motivation to do things that you learn to become important. These things are important to you. And so, therefore, being respectful in the society, treating the women correctly, the women treating the men accordingly. There's a lot of education that has to happen on ground level. And because we culturally haven't and been indoctrinated with so many misnomers and misideas about what a man is and how a man should articulate and how he should express his masculinity, right, and all of those things, we've been taught wrong. And we've been perpetuating wrongness. Even when you look into the movies, you know, this old hyper-masculine approach to being a man, you know, everything is aggressive and super assertive. But this is not the behavior of thinking people. Thinking minds don't reside in lower base responses. They actually revel in the idea of applying thought, you know, coming up with solutions, alternative solutions, you know, finding other ways to do and reach certain ends than what's normally been projected, right? So we don't want to just be lazy in our approach because, again, just as we know, most of us are parents. When we think about our children, for those of us who have multiple children or young nieces and nephews, cousins, et cetera, any young person that's under our watch, and we have more than one, then you assume, if you don't already know, you assume come to find out that you can't discipline them the same. There's no blanket approach to discipline, right? And so you have to learn the individual. You have to figure out what works for them. You have to be creative and innovative in your approach. And at the same time, as the brother Umar was saying, that you have to always incorporate love in that. And any person, even in our husband and wife dynamic, there's discipline that's involved in that. Allah says that we are friends and protectors of one another. And then also says in the book that we should admonish, we should warn each other. I'm talking about the husband and wife, the male and female, that we should warn another against ill behavior, that we should remind each other when we are getting off track, so to speak. But we have to be subjected to that, and we have to be submissive to that. So if the parent says to the child, hey, listen, I know you enjoy doing this, that, and the third, but if you continue this behavior, and I know it sounds passive because we come from such a hyper-aggressive history, but if your children are not afraid of you, if your spouse is not afraid of you, then they're more inclined to communicate with you and then actually reach the solutions that you're seeking to find in whatever the issue may be. You can find those because you can get to the root of it through conversation and communication. But if a person is shut off and believing that if I say the wrong thing, you might go upside my head. If I don't say the right thing, then I will be less inclined to even communicate with you like this. So I'll shield and I'll hide things, and I'll just, you know, I won't communicate. And that in itself, it stifles the growth and the development of not only just children, but adults as well. Allah says that we are free in the city. We should be free to express ourselves, but also to remain in our dignity and respect in that expression. So we don't want to just, I say whatever I want to say. No, Allah didn't tell us that. Allah says speak directly to the right, to be decent in your conduct, right? But at the same time, you have to be truthful, too. First and foremost, you have to be truthful. Truthful, but also mindful of the fact that there's a living, breathing, emotional creature at the receiving end of this administering of your truth. So we don't want to be too harsh and be aggressive. Alhamdulillah. So thank you, brother man, for allowing me to share.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for your valuable sharing this morning. Praise be to Allah. We thank Allah for you and your sharing what Allah has blessed you with. Praise be to Allah. You know, in the Quran, the Almighty God speaks to the children and us that we should never speak disrespectful to our parents. we shouldn't even suggest a disrespect to our parents, that we are to keep good company with our parents. Almighty God says, even if they try to get you to worship other than me, don't follow that, but keep good company with your parents, so that the degree of respect, of a loving respect, has to be engendered early in the life of the child. I can share from my own personal experience the fear. I feared my father. He was he was just known as the belt. You know, he was just known as the belt. That was his interaction with me. You know, I loved him, but then I stopped and I questioned myself: was that fear or was that love? What was that love or was that fear? I respected him. Why? Because he was known as the belt. You know, it was only later on in life that he and I, our souls touched. Praise be to Allah. Our souls touched. And our hearts touched, and we was able to develop a loving, respectful, and caring relationship between father and son. Yes, sir.
Real brief. So being that I work in a counseling capacity also, right, so I have some close friends in mind. There are three adult young men in the household, and they just recently started going to counseling, and I happen to be friends with all of these. These are all brothers, very close friends of mine, and they just recently started going to therapy, you know, family therapy, individual and also two family therapy. And what has come out of that therapy and those conversations, you know, is that the very thing that you were just expressing, how my good friend, their perception and their vision of their father, how they viewed their father. You know, it wasn't a loving, nurturing relationship. It was authoritative and more of a punitive relationship. And listening to them talk, and these grown men, and they crying tears because they wanted a better relationship. They wanted a better relationship with their dad. And then and listening to them talk, it's something very apparent jumped out right at me. It was like a screaming voice. It said, he's been victimized also.
Yes, the father. Yes, he's only, yes, sir. He's only acting out what was introduced to him. We had no other model to model our behavior out of other than the environment. And what was displayed not only in front of us, but also what happened to us, you know. So we are products of that, and you know, the indigenous people of this country, I have read whereby they were shocked to their core when they saw Europeans whipping their children. That was a foreign, unknown action for them. That was completely out of their norm. You know, they were shocked at that. We come from out of a unique experience. I'm not saying that other people did not experience corporal punishment. I know they did, but that was, how can I say, that was at the core of our beginning in this country. That mm-hmm. was at the core of our beginning. We had no other reference, no other model to look at or reference to refer to as to how we should behave toward one another, even in the intimate setting of the family. You know, it can be traumatic for a son to see his father taken out of his home, tied to a whipping post, the whipping post, and then whipped. Can you imagine what that did to that young boy's soul and the father, the whole family? So
yeah.
that became the remedy for any infraction, any disagreement, is I will assault you. So thank you, good man. I hear. Yes,
quick question before you move on. So isn't it safe to say that that's the origin of domestic violence?
I would say when in relationship to our sojourn in this country, that is the nucleus, because understand what we were emptied out. Our past was erased.
Yes.
And this was a new beginning. So we had no other example, no other model. We were shaped and formed in the environment called chattel slavery. And we should never forget that. We should never forget that. Let us not be foolish. And I'm not saying look back at it with hatred. No, look back at it intelligently, rationally, apply social science to that and how we can remedy the negative effects of that environment called chattel slavery. And no one can, as our beloved Dr. Martin Luther King said, no one can do this for us. This is something that we must do ourselves and reach down into our soul. Our soul was affected by that abnormal environment. Reach down into our, with, he said, self-asserted manhood. I love that part. And he said, don't let nobody take your manhood away from you. So we are readying ourselves, conditioning ourselves to be the true protector and maintainer of the society and the communities in which we live and our families. This is what we must do, and this is the journey that we are on. Thank you, Imam Sahir. Yes, sir. I want to now, let me see, I have about 3 minutes before we go to another public service announcement. So at this time, I want to call on my beloved Michael Hameen, alhamdulillah, if you would introduce yourself, and then we will go to a public service announcement. Then we look forward to hearing your commentary on this subject. Michael Hameen, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. God's peace be upon you, and that peace obligates us all to maintain, keep, and advance the peace. Michael Hameen, host of Not Just Talk on AM360.org, member of the First Nation of Islam from 1969 until the leadership changed and the son of Elijah Muhammad became the leader of that community, and we've gone through a number of transitions. I see myself as an educator, you know, in a community worker, and I'll stop there.
Okay. Michael Hameen, he is a host here on American Muslim 360. We have about a few seconds left. If you would share with the listening audience the name of that excellent broadcast that you host here on American Muslim 360, if you would, please. Michael? Okay, wait a minute. Let me see. I think I may have
unfortunately muted his mic. Let me, I don't see him on the air now.
My call dropped, Cousin Mel.
Oh, okay. All right. So if you would share with the listening audience the name of your broadcast here on American Muslim 360.
Yes, sir. Not Just Talk. Program on AM 360. The focus is community building, bringing men and women who have accepted the social responsibility to build, support institutional life, that is education, the life of government, the life of cultural development, the life of business. I don't want to forget that, the life of business economy. So
yes, sir. Thank you. We shall pause now for station identification and some important public service announcements. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Viata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their Internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
And we are back. Praise be to Allah. Yes, Michael Hameen, if you would, well, first I want to return back to play this short address of our late leader, Dr. Martin Luther King, to make sure that we get the tone of what we are addressing here. And then afterward, I look forward to your commentary, Michael Hameen. Let me see now. Pardon me. Okay, let me see if I can get it back up.
Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black.
Okay, and we are back. That is our beloved great leader, Dr. Martin Luther King. And he asked that if we would reach down into our soul and take our self-asserted manhood and write our own Declaration of Independence, that no one can do this for us but us. Michael Hameen, if you would, please share your commentary on the subject of domestic violence.
Thank you. Bismillah, Rahman, Rahim, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I want to frame my comments with a reading from English translation of the Sacred Quran called the Clear Quran, translated by Dr. Mustafa Katab. The chapter or surah 28, called the whole story in this rendering, or Al-Qasas, the narrative. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is the fourth verse or ayah. And it reads, indeed, Pharaoh arrogantly elevated himself in the land and divided its people into subservient groups, one of which he persecuted, slaughtering their sons and keeping their women. He was truly one of the corruptors, and I'll stop there. So
this highlights a strategy going back into ancient history that is still alive today, this pharaonic or pharaoh strategy of the development of a class system whereby there's a hierarchy. And at the bottom of the system, there's a book by an author, her last name is Wilkinson, called Caste. And it deals with this hierarchy established in America, taken from India, the caste system, whereby you have higher class and lower class. So here, this Quranic verse refers to this system. And as was stated earlier, African Americans, we call now, I prefer to say the Lalians, we were emptied out of our traditional standards. And we suffered what Imam Wahdi Muhammad is said to have commented on, a clinical experiment designed to cause dysfunction in the vital areas of our life. This is speaking to our socialization, our social structure as a people, whereby fear was utilized to train us, train African American people to serve the interests, to serve the interests of others, and not really focusing or being able to focus on the interests of our group, the Bilalians or African Americans. And we know the history, and the history is being looked at with eyes that are focusing on finding the solutions for the behavior that developed within traumatic experiences, the brokenness of the family unit, the brokenness of the family unit, the fear of mothers of seeing their children sent off and separated, violently separated from them, causing trauma, causing oftentimes irreparable harm without the right medicine. And so we've come to find that the medicine is in scripture, the classical scripture, and in particular, medicine is in the sacred Quran, or what's called the Holy Quran. So Dr. King is right. We have to get the language straight. And Imam Wahdi Muhammad is one that started his leadership with telling us that words make people. We know about, we've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, that was a big lie, because words can grow you and words can destroy you. Words can damage you. So are the environment that make up our humanity. Some years ago, I studied childhood development, and we studied the case histories of children being terribly neglected, put in basements or attics, and not having healthy connection with the person that was supposed to be providing life and nourishment for them. And it was found when these children were freed from that confinement, that imprisonment, they demonstrated retarded, if you will, behavior in terms of their human ability. But once the healthy connection, human connections were made with them, they began to grow and develop. And you saw the signs of a healthy human being demonstrated. So environment is very important. And when our environment was controlled over those so many years, it developed certain behavior attitudes that we see demonstrated even today. when the family life is not healthy, it produces unhealthy family members. Today, a big issue in our communities with the young men in particular is this attitude that the mogul, Jay Prince, the hip-hop mogul Jay Prince, described in a book, this exaggerated need for respect that these young people, these young men in particular, require and demand in these ghetto social environments. The exaggerated need for respect brings about a willingness to kill, to maim, to injure, to take the life of those who demonstrate disrespect in the eyes of the person who's the perpetrator of that. You know, we heard it mentioned, don't get angry, a advice from Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Well, when you look at anger, at times it's brought about by a fear to be afraid, you know, a fear, thinking that you don't want to be treated violently or disregard for your feelings or your rights as a human being. And this is a very, very, very serious situation. I think that lastly, I need to look at also what this traumatic environment, even though now we have to be responsible for our actions, the traumatic environment that we've gone through as African Americans, and we were not what's called triaged, where we look at those who are more severely damaged by the experience, and we treat them, and then you go on down the line to those who are less damaged. This is the idea of triage. We never had that. In the book by Dr. Joy DeGruy, there's a book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and we're still dealing with the ghost of the slave past in terms of our relationships. And recently I came upon some information in terms of how men, you know, demonstrate physical violence, but women, and this is a big issue nowadays, women have the tendency to want to tear down the character, tear down your good name. They approach violence in terms of their tongue and aggressively demonstrating a behavior of seeking to shame the individual, to insult the individual, to induce guilt upon the individual, and also this serious aggressive need to be right, regardless of the circumstances. And this oftentimes will trigger a response from the males who innately require respect. By tearing down the respect, you know, you find on the other end, in terms of domestic violence, women pushing buttons to get the man to physically strike because of her refusal to respect him as a human being, and in particular as a man. So I'll stop there, and looking forward to the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah for that wonderful contribution that you have made to this subject matter. You know, I was looking at YouTube yesterday, and this was a female that was explaining the independent woman. The statement that she made was not coming from a male. It was coming from a female, from her. She said, you know, the female has to
maneuver and operate in a male-dominated society, a society designed by males, for males. And in order for her to compete in the commercial world, she has to take on the aggressiveness of the order of the day that she did not design, but she is in the workforce now, the corporate structure, and it has been dominated by males, and it was designed by males for males. So she, praise be to Allah, Allah has given us the ability called adaptation to adapt to the environment in which you're in. And for her own protection and for her advancement in that system, she takes on the aggressiveness and the thinking of the male. We applaud the success that women are making in the commercial world. They are not prohibited from that. But the young lady said that when she comes home, she has to be able to come from out of that behavior that she has adopted in the commercial world. She should not bring that attitude and those emotions and those thought processes with her and bring that into the home. Masculine aggressiveness, and as you aptly shared with us, the overcompensation of the African American male to demand respect, you know, she was, now this was coming from a female, and she was saying that that the female should not bring that work attitude, that work environment, which has shaped her, she should not bring that into the home. That you're entering now an equal partnership, you know? And she said that many times women will over-talk their husband. Because this is what she has developed in the commercial world, that she must get the last word, because otherwise she don't believe that her voice will be heard. These are processes used in the commercial world for her to compete in an environment that she did not construct, that was not constructed for her. And she sometimes can bring that home with her, and that can cause a major problem. She has to be able, male and female, also men too, that over-aggressiveness, that alpha male, I must be on top. I must be right, even if I'm not correct. I got to be right. You know, I got to be right. That will not work in a partnership. In a partnership, we must trust and respect one another, be able to listen to one another, and the application of compromise, and also seeing the value that each person brings to any social dynamic. Appreciate the value, recognize the value that is being contributed. So now, this was coming from a female, I hadn't thought about it like that, but she as she said, as the independent woman, especially the independent single mother that has to this world to provide for her and her children. She performed functions because she's single, that functions that are really geared for the male, but she adapts to her being single, and she take on those type of functions, which shapes her thinking, her feeling, her emotions. It is survival for her. But then let's say she meets a prospective good husband, and she marries him. Sometimes it's hard to step back, you know. Sometimes it's hard to step back. Well, no, I'm going to let him handle that. I'm going to see how he handles that. So these I'm just grateful that she shared that, because we want to operate as one unit. We are on the same team. The male and female has been affected by the environment that shaped us, coming out of being property, so that we can function as a full human being. And, you know, we speak of domestic violence, to be a child raised in an environment that is threatening to them. They are threatened with physical, felonious assault. Let me put it here, physical felonious assault. And that breeds fear in that child, fear and insecurity. And we wonder how come our children are acting out. Well, we have to create the proper environment. The home is the nucleus, the atmosphere of the home, how we interact with each other. I'm talking about sibling against sibling. Sibling against sibling. It's one thing I can say, my father and mother said, I will not tolerate y'all fighting one another. They were strictly against that, although we did fight each other, you know, and we got whipped because of that. So we want to lay the fertile ground for the maturation of healthy human beings and remove the domestic violence, the violence associated with family relationships and the environment. Then, you know, the home should be a place of safety, security, love, nurturing. Education is what will produce healthy, God-fearing human beings. And as parents, we must demonstrate that. You know, we got to make the correction. We love the children, but sometimes that love is expressed in a way that is not congruent with the word love, with the word love. So, okay, I'll stop right there. We have another guest on the line, my brother Warren Houston. Praise be to Allah. I'm glad he is with us. Warren Houston is a legal consultant, and he's the founder of the People's Law Study Group. I'm going to open up go to his mic now, and invite him to join in this wonderful conversation. I enjoy his sharing here on the Female Solution. My beloved Warren Houston, peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum.
Good morning,
brother Warren. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's good to hear your voice once more.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for having me, and it's always a pleasure to come on and share with you all. Yes, I am the creator and organizer of the People's Law Study Group here in Houston, Texas. I'm also a student and follower of the late, great Dr. Yosef Ben Yochanan, and I am a student of the Egyptian mystery system. As I listen this morning, there's so many things that I've heard that I would like to. Of course, I know time will not allow me to deal with everything from an individual basis. But I will say this. There are so many factors for domestic violence. A lot of factors could be the reason. There could be outside influence. Miseducation, misrepresentation, misunderstanding, immaturity, many, many factors. But at the root cause of, in my opinion, at the root cause of being domestic violence is allowing our emotions to lead us. One of my favorite books is The Kabbalion, which talks about the seven natural laws. And under the fourth natural law, we look at the law of opposites. And the law of opposites basically lets us know that everything in this world has an opposite. And so, therefore, the opposite of our emotions is intelligence. And to be extreme on either end is not good. So things also require a balance. And so when we are very emotional, especially as it relates to men, that is not good. I also like the story of Esau and Jacob. And to try to make it brief, I don't have time to get into the whole story because there is a message in that story. When we look at the story of Esau and Jacob, the Bible says that Esau was ruddy and red, which represents the heart. He represents emotions. And Jacob, the name itself means a supplanter or a trickster or a con artist. And so we see when either one of those factors were out front, destruction basically showed itself. But at the end, when you find Jacob and Esau reconciling their differences, they became one. And this is what we're up against, and understanding our position. One thing I will not do, and I've heard so many comments this morning on what other cultures think or what other cultures do or how they were surprised or how they were shocked at this thing. I will never judge myself according to anyone's standard. And I have to look within myself. My experience is my experience, and my experience is not another's experience. So I would have to look into myself and be able to judge what is right in me. I will also have to look into myself and look at my experiences and look at the things that have taught me and why did I go through those things? Because whatever don't kill you should make you stronger. Some of the terms, another thing I'd like to put out today is that we're living in a time where gender is trying to be erased. Well, in the Kabbalion, that's the seventh law of nature, which is the law of gender. You find gender in everything, and there's a reason. There's a difference between male and female, and we cannot act like there isn't. If we do, then therefore you head on another course of destruction. And we think differently. That's the whole purpose. But again, when you deal with emotions and intellect, which everybody has emotions and intellect, but we want to find the balance in the two. We don't want to be extreme either way. Same way when you're talking about masculine and feminine, you want to find the balance between the two. And so in finding that balance, we have to know what our roles is and the thinking. And I believe in my insight that the feminine or the female aspect in relationship is there. You don't ignore it, but I do believe the man has been given the oversight. Prime example, my son, my oldest son, Warren Jr., has been incarcerated for the last 7 years. I haven't seen him up until 2 weeks ago for 7 years from the time he had been incarcerated. And I hadn't spoken to him in 5 years. Well, what happened? After they took him out of the Texas courtroom for something stupid that he decided to do, I got so caught up in life before I realized 2 years had passed before I wrote him, and I wrote him a letter. I wrote him, I said, son, it's my apology that I've taken so long to write you, but life is happening, blah, 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 blah. Well, my son responded to the letter, and it was the most disrespectful letter And I didn't come from that type of background. I didn't come from a background where we disrespected our parents. So the letter was so disrespectful, I wrote him a letter back, and I said, you know, I know, pretty much know you have a lot on your mind. You got a lot you're going through. And I said, I can discuss any topic or any situation with you, but I will not do it from a point of disrespect. I am your father, and you will talk to me with respect. And so when I sent that letter back, he sent a letter back that was more disrespectful than the first one. I made up my mind at that point. I don't have nothing else to say to this young man. He's my child. I love him, of course. But I will not tolerate disrespect. It took him 5 years. Now, mind you, the women in my life, be it my mother and those that are connected with me, felt like I took a wrong approach, and you should understand where he's coming from. Well, that's feminine thinking, because the woman is there to nurture. The father is there for discipline. So in their thinking, oh, you should have been, you need to go check on him. No, I'm not. Because what I already knew at that point is that if I allow him and this is not dealt with, then he will disrespect me whenever he feels like it. So it took him 5 years. It's kind of like the prodigal son who went out, who asked for his inheritance and went out. And I'm pretty sure we've discussed these type of things and understanding about the prodigal son. Pretty sure the father, being a father that loved him, thought many days hard about his son, but he had to let it be as it was until his son came to himself. And that's the situation. It took my son 5 years, but he finally wrote a letter and apologized for his disrespect. And after he apologized for his disrespect, I made no more questions. I didn't say anything else. As a matter of fact, he's not even close. I live in Houston, Texas, and because of his what we got in Texas called G5 classification in the Texas penal code system, and he has the worst conduct in the Texas prison system. So therefore, when that happens, they move you far away from your home so that your people cannot get to you. So I'm in Houston, Texas. He had been moved to a little city called New Boston, Texas, which is about 20 miles from the Texas and Arkansas state line, which takes me about 5 hours to drive. So 2 weeks ago, I rented a car, and I went there. And when I walked around the corner, when he saw my face, man, I wish I had a camera, you know, because the look on his face was priceless when he saw it was me. And so, therefore, I said all that to say this. Learn from our experiences, and I don't look at everything as a trauma. It's a learning process. I don't judge my standards up against anybody else's standards. I accept, in spite of the slave trade and everything we went through, I accept being American, not just an African-American. I accept being American because this is what I grew up around. This is what I know. And we, even as Americans, we did have morals. We had family standards. All that has been wiped away, and that has been done for a reason. So when you start to destroy the family, the family structure itself in the nation is gone. So that's my comment in the short version.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Thank you. We are going through a very traumatic period right now. The dissolution of the family. Although the African American slaves had gone through the horror of chattel slavery, I have read narratives whereby upon emancipation on paper, the physical freeing, that there were slaves that had had family members that had been sold off in other states or sold off to settle debts, whatever. It was just business with the slave owners. And that those slaves, some of them, many of them, that had been freed, that they would walk to that state in search of their family member and connect back with them. That even under the horrors of slavery, the heart, the human part of the human being, of those in there, they were not so destroyed that they did not go in search of their family member. That is, yes, that is a part of the natural human dynamic that God has placed within us as human beings. But that did not deter us from modeling or taking on the examples that had been placed before us as how to handle an infraction or a disagreement. We followed the example that was in front of us. And we wonder how come our children are so violent now. Well, we have followed the way of the enslaver. To be a child and raised in a home whereby physical assault is always held over your head. Words are spoken. And you hear those words, and those words go into us, and they form us. So when I recognize Domestic Violence Awareness Month, of course, the first thing that crosses our mind, we have been trained to think of the relationship between the husband and the wife and him assaulting her. But I wanted to take it further than that, our families are, that is, when they say domestic, that to me, that says family to me. To that our families are in an environment that threatens violence, that carries out violence on each other, because the only demonstration that was placed before us for any small infraction to break a tool, that slave was punished, shackled, whipped, and we brought that with us. And what I'm saying is that we have to restructure the family, our thinking on the family, and provide the necessary environment. It begins with at the birth of our children. You know, our children, they come here, they can't talk, but they're very spiritual. They are very spiritual. And they react to how someone makes them feel. They may not have a language, but how they are made to feel. And you know, when the child is first birthed, in some cases, the child on its behind to cause it to take that first breath. They enter this world being assaulted. The first sensation that they feel is a slap. I think there are better ways to get that first breath. Why not breathe into the mouth of that child, which activates their lungs, and they breathe, other than entering this world with a slap. You know, children are very inquisitive. They are young scientists when they come here. They are on a journey of discovery. And yes, they will pick up things. They have inquiring minds. They are exploring. And for us to hit their hand, put that down. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. So what I'm saying is that we must divorce ourselves from using physical assault inside the home, inside of our family structure. Trust has to be earned. You look trustworthy. We must convey to our child that we are trustworthy, and we have to earn that trust. We have to earn that. So when you earn that, when you get that and you earn that, there is a great degree of respect and authority that comes along with that. That child now, it wants your respect. It wants that closeness to you. So words like you have really, I never expected that of you. Oh, Mama, I did not expect that of you. I know that you know better. Yes, ma'am. Don't behave like that. So what we are trying to do is replace the idea of physical assault inside of the family. Domestic violence. So that is what I am looking at, and that's the subject matter that I'm trying to engender here, that we remove violence from out of the environment in which we shape our children and ourselves. When the children can see the husband, they're protectors. If they can see them loving one another, being considerate to one another, using words of kindness toward one another. Matter of fact, in Islam, if the husband and father have, excuse me, if the husband and wife have a disagreement, they should not argue in front of their children. They should go in private and discuss that issue. The children should not see a separation between those that are in authority over them. Once they detect that, then they feel somewhat vulnerable because those that are protecting us are in disagreement. This is very important. The children should feel safe, secure, and loved inside of our homes, in the family unit. But that threat of violence that comes from the peculiar institution of chattel slavery. And we, unbeknownst to us, have carried that type of government with us inside of our homes and inside of our families. Okay, I want to, we only have about 10 minutes of broadcast time left. I want to stop now for important public service announcements. And you're listening to, and station identification, you're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of the Female Solution. We pause now for some important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
What is- if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Unmuted.
And we are back. I've been informed that we have a caller that wants to participate. His name is Patrick from Toronto, Canada. And Naima, if you would open up his mic, we look forward to his commentary, please.
Okay, so good morning. Good morning. I'm just catching the last bit of this. But I agree with your comment about violence. And I think that's one of the things that we do sometimes with our young kids. This is not a take against parents, because my parents did it too. They're from the South, right? So they did it through, with the whoopings and the beatings and that kind of thing. They loved us, and they were doing what they thought was right. But the violence is the goal. And two things, the violence and the lies. And the lies of, there's a, Easter Bunny and there's a Santa Claus, and, that kind of stuff. And we think it's innocent. And they weren't doing it to be malicious or to harm us. They thought that would, they would just take on the customs and that would make us happy or somehow or something. But those are two things, the lies and the violence and the beatings. And we brag about beatings. That's how bad it was, is that we as a people, we brag about beating, about how bad we got beat when we were younger, and extension cords and shoes and hangers and all that kind of stuff. I mean, comedians make jokes about it, but it's not. It's really serious, and it's sad, and it does. And that's one of the things I think would help with things like domestic violence, because we would all grow up knowing that violence against each other in any form is unacceptable. And then we will put into our daughters' minds, first time, last time. The first time it happens, that's it. Like Millie Fuller said, first time, last time. Once you do it, then the contract is broken between two people. And then she can just say, well, that's it. I can go on my way kind of thing. So, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your contribution. Praise be to God. We have about 4 minutes of broadcast time left. I want to, boy, I know I can't do it in 4 minutes, but I did want to hear very brief parting statements, if everyone would, as I open up your mic, error code 346217. Please, very short closing statements, if you would, please. 342217. Michael Hameen, I believe it is. No. Oh, no, that is Warren Houston. Warren?
Yes.
Yes, sir. If you can be very succinct, I only got 4 minutes left, and I want to hear parting statements from everyone, please. If it can be very brief, please. I'm under the pressure of the clock.
I would tell everyone the goal in life is to know yourself. Everybody's journey is different, and in spite of what the masses are saying about certain things, get to know who you are. And whatever your situation is, whatever you've been through, learn from that, and then therefore
thank you.
You can better yourself in your situation. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Warren. Okay, we go to Imam Sahir Beya. Any brief closing remarks, please?
Yes, sir. That was a wise quote that I learned years ago, and it said to seek to understand versus being understood. And I think if we approach any issue that we're having in our societies, in our families, business relationships, et cetera, if we look for understanding versus to be understood, then I think we'll make a lot more leeway because we won't be pushing
for a lot.
Chum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Imam Sahir Beya. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. 334. That is Michael Hameen. If you could give some very brief closing statements, please. You know the pressure I'm under.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to say that the human life is a life where the newborn comes into a world that they didn't bring anything into. They're cared for, and they are protected.
I've got 90 seconds, Michael.
This human dynamic, this human dynamic puts on us the idea of we owe a debt. And the earlier we can put that forward, the better, that we owe a debt to human life out there.
I'm under 60 seconds, Michael, please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. I know you understand. Okay, Erico, 347751, please, if you could be very, very succinct, please.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister, I know this presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mahatma. I'm so sorry. I must move to the next upcoming broadcast. It is entitled Halal Industries. It is hosted by our beloved Imam Wali Ayub Bilal. It follows this broadcast, Halal Industries, and also stay tuned after that broadcast for Optimal. So let me go.
Of peace of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of the Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
We are now in the after show. So, of course, we do want to get your thoughts. Mama D has joined us, and, you know, we always talk about this issue with controlling your hands and controlling how we raise our children and what we instill in them. So, Mama D, what were your thoughts? You know, one of the things that I was listening to was the fact that, you know, when Warren Houston was telling the story about his son in prison and he didn't go and see him, and then one of the other guests earlier had mentioned, well, several of them mentioned about how they had been harshly disciplined by their fathers. And, you know, I'm seeing a correlation between what men think is tough love and their son later in life really being kind of, in my opinion, emotionally wounded by the harshness. Do you think maybe men are too harsh with their sons and trying to make them tough? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, hello, greetings to everybody, Global Transformers. I think that I absolutely agree that there is no reason for a child to be hit and experience pain, especially by a heavy-handed man that didn't have anything to do with anything, or to be handed over to some strangers after they have known the comfort of a body for 9 months. However, that body, dainty little walking, they got used to that. Heavy-footed walking, they got used to that. That gives them comfort because that's what they know. That's why when a mother picks up a child who has lived in her body and shared her food, water, and air and emotion for 9 months, that child knows that mother. I'd like to share a little story. My daughter's cat gave birth on a wool blanket that I had folded up on the end of my bed while I was in the bed. I was awakened by this slurping sound that this mother cat was making as each kitten slid out. It looked as if they were covered in heavy Vaseline. There was no bleeding, but heavy Vaseline. Wow. And she licked each one of them clean as they slid out. Now, that mother cat had enough humanity that she did not allow those kittens to be born in a violent environment. And And I think that we upset the child's nervous system and everything else when they are hit. You don't need to hit them. Oh, well, I need to clear them of mucus. No, you don't. Stroke their back.
Yeah.
Men do not give birth, and they are in there being the doctors, and they're the ones that must have come up with this kind of stuff. I don't think that all of us had midwives. The birth was done at home, but I never asked the question. But I don't think the midwife hit the baby, did she?
I don't think either. You know, Mama D, I never thought about that. But I don't think midwives smacked the child into breathing. I think because I did have a male doctor, but I made sure he didn't have that philosophy. And he massaged my daughter until she started breathing, you know, until she started crying. There was no slaps and, you know, jerking upside down. That is a very much male thing. Definitely.
And I think it's hostility and hidden hatred because they are not able to give birth. And that's why I said it is so important. That the mother teaches children to respect her and don't allow them to continue this lie, because no lie can live forever, that my birth. No, it is not your birth. You did not do the birthing. You did not do the labor. You did not do the work. And besides that, you were alive for 9 months before your mother did the birthing and the labor and the work. And it's just a fundamental lie to come into this world with pain and lie on our lips. It is your Earth Day birthday. You were alive for 9 months before she gave birth and you got born on the earth. And if we did that, allow respect for motherhood, the greatest gift in the world, it's the gift of life to another human being. And if we could get that straight, we wouldn't have all this domestic violence. I think it's,
wow,
it's rooted in the respect for your first relationship, your first teacher, your mother.
Wow, I totally agree. Zelda on Facebook, she asked if you would repeat that again, what you said about the men being the ones that introduced slapping the babies behind because the women midwives didn't do that. She wanted you to repeat that. Did you explain about that?
Well, as I said, I never thought of it before, but you have a heavy-handed man hit your baby and cause them to cry and cause them pain. The baby isn't just crying to cure no mucus. The baby is crying because you introduced them to pain. How dare you strike him? And as I said, that cat, that mother cat had enough humanity in her that she didn't come in clawing that cat or anything. It was just beautiful and smooth, and she just went right up. And when I woke back up again, every cat was gone. Every little kitten was gone. I don't know where she put them or how she put them, but there was no noise and there was no violence. And a man, as I said, I think it's an unconscious hatred because he is not blessed with the gift to give life. And there he is introducing pain, and it didn't have anything to do with him at all.
You know, that's interesting, Mama D, because, I mean, it's like a light bulb went in my head when you said that. And I'm wondering, why did we allow that? Like you said, this heavy-handed man, male doctor, who has not given birth, doesn't know what it's like, to smack our babies into life. I mean, and when the midwife was probably as gentle as that mother cat, you know, massaging them and so forth, because, you know, women aren't violent, but men would think in terms of, you know, I got to smack the baby to get it to cry. I mean, like you said, the baby's crying out of pain, but yet a midwife knows the gentler way to ease the child into breathing that isn't traumatizing and painful. And so I'm wondering, why did we as women step away from other women who know about childbirth and follow the so-called authority of these male doctors who introduced violence into our babies? Why did we do that?
And if you were having the baby in the bush by yourself, you wouldn't think of the first thing you're going to do is hit that baby.
Right.
If you were giving birth by yourself in the bush, in the jungle somewhere, you would not do it. And we should not allow it. There's no excuse for it.
You know, I think this is what you said. It really opens the door, because if you start your life out violently, what is that telling you? That's telling you you can't trust people. That's telling you anger. I mean, it's instilling all of these things that we see our children manifesting. We're instilling all of those things in them at birth. Whereas if we had simply followed the midwife,
love them into life.
Love them into life.
There's no reason. Why should you give your baby to a nurse? This nurse, I don't know who she is on the day shift, on the night shift, and on all these other shifts. She doesn't need to be involved. She wasn't around when you were carrying that little passenger for 9 months. chill. If you got that refrigerator in your bosom, you don't need her to give us maybe a bottle, holding them upside down. You don't know what's happening to them when you've been separated. They're going to give these people $450 million, $1,000 because they have been separated by a condition of their own making when they broke in here and put their children in harm's way. And because we didn't have no family detention center to put them in, then they're going to turn around and sue. So all of these outside people don't need to be interfering into your relationship with your baby. You didn't need them for 9 months. Why do they need to put them in another room in isolation, and you don't know what heavy-handed nurse or whether they threw them over in the bed or you don't know what's happening? Why do they separate you at birth? And it ain't all
right.
You receive trauma from that. Why don't you get some trauma when you're separated from your mother at birth?
Right. Well, that thing also, we never question. We never question these things that are done to us. And as a result, you know, we allow our children to be abused. We're allowing child abuse at the very beginning. And we don't question, like you say, we don't question what is happening and in that hospital. We don't question the like you say, the nurse is tired. She's been on all night shift. We don't know if that baby is receiving any kind of love or nurturing or anything. We don't question. Whereas in societies where women are helping women and you give birth to the baby's put on the mother's breast, and that's the first thing that happens, not they snatch them away and actually they footprint them. It was like fingerprinting. I didn't realize that, because I remember when they brought my daughter back and her feet were dirty, and in my, they were blackened, and in my mind, you're not really thinking clearly. And I'm thinking, now why did they have her walking around and she didn't have on any shoes? So you don't have to know my mind was not there. But then I was told later, they footprint the baby to put the footprint on the birth certificate. But I wasn't thinking. Why is my baby's feet dirty? but I'm thinking, even that experience, I don't know if they twisted her ankle some kind of way to get her to put her foot on the ink pad. I don't know how that procedure was. And so you don't know what's going on when your child is taken from you at birth. And these are people, like you say, they're not nurturing. They're medicinal. They're not thinking in terms of cuddling. They don't do any of that. So we've made childbirth into a medical procedure so that our insurance can pay for it, as opposed to it being a home family experience that the child can be brought into a nurturing, calm, peaceful, loving environment, massaged into breathing and hearing the voices of the family that loves them. No, we put them in some sterile, cold, and I remember that hospital room was cold, and I'm on a metal slab, and it was horrible. My doctor, I appreciate Dr. Odie Payne, I do appreciate you, but, if I had it to do over, I would do a home birth, knowing what I know now. And I'm grateful he did not smack her, because that was, I was conscious at that time about that's not how I want my child coming into life. But so many people, that's the way the doctors do it, hold them upside down, smack them on the behind, the baby cries, and then they snatch them from you and take them and do who knows what. So if your beginning is violent, is it any wonder that the rest of your life you're not feeling secure or loved? So Mama D, I noticed a lot of men, when it comes to parenting, they put themselves in the position of the disciplinarian. Like, I don't know if you heard Brother Kareem talking about how his father was the man with the belt, and one of the other brothers saying, the father, that's the one who beat you, that's the one who, quote, disciplines you. But do you think that
that image of manhood or fatherhood is harmful? And do you think maybe men should learn to, I don't know, tune into their nurturing side? Because so many men don't get the nurturing from their fathers that
right.
maybe is what...
Right. I see what you mean. What I think is, it's just like sterilizing when you're doing these surgery, the genitalia mutilation of women. Men did that, but women went right along with it. A mother that's given birth to this child, and then she said, wait until your father comes home. You should never delay discipline. The child is mind is going to be like a child. He thinks and reasons like a child. Now you're going to delay this discipline for 4 or 5 hours, waiting till your daddy gets home. Then he has to come in. He doesn't know what the situation was, but you just sit the daddy on the child, get him, and he comes in. Not knowing what went on 8 hours before he got there or 12 hours before he got there, but he's pulling his belt off because mama said she wanted you to get him. Woo! And it's just this sicking your daddy on you. And then he comes in. Doesn't know what the hell's happening. And your mama, I mean, if you've got, what is wrong with you that you don't have the power or the confidence discipline what you have birthed into the world, and you're going to delay this punishment. And by the time the child gets it, if depending on that child's age, they don't even know what they're getting it for. So now you put up a barrier between daddy hit me and I don't know why, and he whooped me and what did I do, and they don't even know what is going on. And it's just a cycle of violence that's absolutely ridiculous. That's why we have war and pain, because we do not allow wisdom and comfort. We've taken that out of the spiritual common sense. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, Mother of wisdom and comfort, and God the Child. But oh no, we gotta have God the Daddy, God the Son, and we won't say a her, we'll say a the Holy Spirit over there in the corner somewhere. So how is it that two men to this day cannot give birth? So how is it that three men, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, male, how is it that three men give birth? We have got to start telling the truth. Come, let us reason together. And it is not reasonable, because when I look up into the sky, I see one sun, one moon, and many stars. One daddy, one mama, and many children. And we're going to have to put that Holy Spirit, Mother of wisdom and comfort, into the Trinity in order to get rid of war and pain. Is the female solution to it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Mama D, as I listen to a lot of different men and their perceptions on what their role is as a father, it does tend to be more like the enforcer, you know, the pain giver, the one that comes in, strip the belt off and start beating without knowing what's going on. So that being the case, how can a woman, a female child, then develop a healthy relationship with a male if the man that defines manhood for you, your father, is violent and non-nurturing? Now, there are some men who are maybe a little more nurturing, a little more tender, a little more comforting to their daughters. And sometimes having a daughter can bring that quality out in a man, but sometimes men are asked to discipline daughters as well. Now, I think doing that sets up a woman to accept getting beaten by a man. So, like you say, there's never a reason to hit a child. But if you don't have parenting skills where you know how to guide and correct
using the using what we see parents in the wild do. Let me show you the right way to do it. Let me protect you from the wrong way so that you understand, as opposed to let me cause you pain. You know, if we don't develop better skills, we're not going to develop better people. So is there a way to, I don't know, redefine fathering so that men don't see it as the enforcer and the violence giver, and they see it more as the strong person who makes you feel protected, or the strong man who even gives you comfort, but not the one who has to beat you into submission? Is there a way to change the thinking about that?
Yes. You start with, do a man ain't supposed to cry? Well, where did that come from? Does he have tear ducts?
Ooh.
He's got tear ducts, right? Doesn't he? So obviously he's supposed to cry. So
right.
He started that. A man ain't supposed to cry. A man is not supposed to have feelings and emotions, and he's a human being. Where did that come from? It's like, I don't know how your visionary of the female solution, but the more I hear the things that come over this airway, the more I am convinced it is the female that is the solution. We must raise our children differently and have a different kind of relationship with the man that's in our lives. I married, I was the first female out of three sons. And my husband said to me, he got it home before I did. He said, I washed the dishes up for you. I said, no, you didn't wash the dishes up for me. You wash the dishes because you nasty them up. As a matter of fact, you nasty up more dishes than I do. I can use the same way. So don't be coming in here telling me you wash the dishes for me. And it's just that kind of basic understanding that you have to get across, because men have to assign these roles. Your job is to clean the house, and I nasty it up. But your job is to clean the house, and my job, all of us in these limitation boxes. And why do we allow ourselves to be locked in?
Why did we allow
less than a divine human being?
Yeah, I think that's probably the question we need to be asking ourselves. Why did we allow it? Because we allow all of these things. We allow the mistreatment. We allow the denigration. We allow the disrespect. And I think it comes from being conditioned to accept being treated like that by parents who were treated like that when they were raised, and then their parents were treated like that when they were raised. So now we have to correct all the misguidance that has been part of our cultural acceptance and realize that anything that denigrates a human being, anything that causes you to feel bad about yourself, not coming from the higher spiritual realm, because God doesn't make you feel like garbage. So why would anybody thinking that's correct to make you feel like garbage? We're supposed to be treated like the divine entities that we are, and any child-rearing practice that puts a child down and makes them feel like they're worthless, that's not of God, and that's definitely not the highest spiritual teaching that we're reflecting. So we need to learn better so we can do better. So, well, Mama D, I thank you for lending your wisdom. You have definitely, there was something you said. I said, now that is a slogan. I'm trying to remember what it was. But you had capitalized the thought so specifically. I probably have to go back and play the video so I remember what you said. But it was a slogan. I said, oh, we need to say that.
These heavy-handed men that didn't have anything to do with it, and the daddy as the enforcer.
It was something.
And if you have tear ducts, if you got tear ducts, it's because you're supposed to cry.
Right. I think it was also something you said about loving people into life rather than slapping them into life.
Absolutely.
But yes.
Absolutely. You should not enter into this world with war and hate. Enter it with,
yes,
with wisdom and comfort.
Absolutely. That's what we got to do. Well, thank you so much, Mama D. And listen in on the fourth Saturday of the month to Wisdom with Mama D. Right here on the Female Solution, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central. And, of course, join us tomorrow for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif. Thank you to my co-host, Kareem Amin, for a wonderful men's only discussion. And we hope you all learned something and maybe made you reflect. So until tomorrow. Continue to shine.
www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.